But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with CNN's excuse for an interview with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Move on to how Project 2025 plans to fuck over American workers and unions, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, What Crimes Did the 34 Times Convicted Felon Commit Now? Let's begin, shall we? In the long ago time of about 2 weeks ago, the mainstream media had to share a space with content creators for the very first time at the DNC in Chicago. Journalists from legacy media outlets and social media influencers clashed in a Mean Girl-style battle for workspace and interviews that was described by an assistant manager for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as, quote, the worst working conditions ever. So it made all the sense in the world to the Kevins and Karens of journalism to passively aggressively complain about how Kamala Harris wasn't doing news network interviews like Dumb and Dumber had been doing. Which led to no one but journalists asking, was Harris and Walz's campaign just about the content creators more than journalistic integrity over decades of controlling the narrative the cable news had built? Well, we finally got our answer, because Kamala and Tim sat down with CNN's Dana Bash for a one-on-two interview that proved yet again that just because you're a journalist doesn't mean you're good at your job. Because Dana took this much sought after opportunity to ask such burning questions as this.
You have less time to make your case to voters. If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House? One of your campaign themes is we're not going back. But I wonder what you say to voters who do want to go back when it comes to the economy specifically, because their groceries were less expensive, housing was more affordable when Donald Trump was president. You have been vice president for 3.5 years. Yeah. The steps that you're talking about now, why haven't you done them already? And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Do you still want to ban fracking? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward? You had a lot of Republican speakers at the convention. Yeah. Will you appoint a Republican to your cabinet? I want to ask you about your opponent, Donald Trump, what he said last month. He suggested that you happened to turn black recently for political purposes.
Damn, Dana. I know you went to college to be a journalist and have worked your way up from being a reporter to an anchor at CNN, but was it really all worth it? These questions could have been written by any embarrassments over at Fox Not a News Channel, and yet you decided to ask them. Did it ever occur to you that these questions are the exact reason why the Harris-Walz campaign is spending so much time and energy on content creators? And you probably shouldn't be asking these questions because they invalidate the public's need for corporate news. Because your boy over at The Atlantic made a pretty astute observation that I think bears repeating.
I want to talk about a double standard that we have in this campaign. We're sitting here parsing, as we should, what the Democratic nominee for president says in an interview. Meanwhile, this is what Donald Trump had to say this week.
Groceries, food has gone up at levels that nobody's ever seen before. We've never seen anything like it, 50, 60, 70%. You take a look at bacon and some of these products, and some people don't eat bacon anymore. And we are going to get the energy prices down. When we get energy down, you know, this was caused by their horrible energy wind. They want wind all over the place. But when it doesn't blow, we have a little problem.
Here's the thing. If Kamala Harris went from bacon to wind in her interview with Dana Bash, she would this morning, she would not be the nominee of the Democratic Party. Do we just have an absurdly low standard now for the things that Donald Trump says and does?
Yeah, we do. And Dana Bash proved it by asking all the questions the right wing would love to ask under the banner of CNN. As if we don't already know, the guy running the network is a Republican. And for those of you basement dwellers in the back who think every outlet except for their favorites are libtards, sorry, I really am that you had to find out this way. But then again, how can anyone blame you for not knowing anything of any substance when you're listening to a barrage of impotent rage 24 hours a day?
The Dow breaking 41,000 on Friday.
Well, that's simply because businesses think that President Trump is going to come back in. That RFK and Junior endorsement that we had on Friday, which is huge.
Because the Democrats are a threat to our country.
Kamala Harris has been running everything for the past 3.5 years. We know Biden's not in charge. You've seen him. He can't put two sentences together.
She's going to get paralyzed in the Situation Room while the generals have their way with her.
You know who likes the word democracy the most? Dictators. Fascists, Marxists, autocrats, and 100 other dictatorships, brutal regimes, genocidal regimes. They claim to be democracies that have the vote.
About ensuring that illegals are clean off the voter rolls, or generally sending out the message that we will find you, we'll track you down, and we'll prosecute you to the full extent of the law. We're watching everything, we're filing lawsuits when necessary, and we're making sure we have people everywhere votes are being cast and counted to have eyes on everything.
Well, if that isn't some of the scariest crap to come out of anyone's mouth, I certainly don't know what is. These low IQ individuals think the vice president is running the country. Democracy is for dictators. And having maggots lurking around polling stations isn't intimidation. It's patriotism. Oh, and while we're on the subject of voter suppression, did you hear the one about the Attorney General of Texas?
AG Ken Paxton's office executed a series of raids on the homes of Democratic leaders and activists, most of them Latino, in what he describes an ongoing probe into voter fraud.
AG Ken Paxton's office says these undercover operations are happening in response to reports that some organizations in Texas may be unlawfully registering non-citizens to vote or engaging in ballot harvesting.
Yeah, so officers from the Attorney General's office went with early morning raids and very wide-ranging, expansive warrants to go to these activists' homes, searching their homes. One 87-year-old activist told my colleague on the ground, Simzan Gamboa, that they looked through her underwear drawer.
The largest Latin American civil rights organization is calling for a federal investigation.
LULAC is saying that this is voter intimidation, it's voter suppression, and they're trying to do this very close to an election. LULAC claims they're directly trying to basically stifle the Latino vote here.
Well, duh. How else are the pasty colonizers running Texas going to stay in power if all the brown people in their state get registered to vote in November? Hence why Confederate General Ken targeted the chair of the Tejano Democrats, several members of the League of the United Latin American Citizens, a candidate for the Texas State House, a mayor, and many, many more. Because purging Texas voter rolls of millions of potential voters apparently was not enough to ensure their dear leader takes the Lone Star State this election. So they had to go and raid the homes of people helping other people register to vote, not to mention rummaging through the underwear drawer of an 87-year-old woman looking for voter fraud because, I don't know, Norman Bates? Which is disturbingly on point considering that the Republicans' Project 2025 has so much to say about immigration. For starters, there's the issue with illegal immigration.
The far-right manifesto puts forth sealing the border, page 166. It wants the Department of Defense to, quote, assist in aggressively building the border wall system on America's southern border, including using military personnel and hardware. Recommendation, it's to the Department of Education on page 167, quote, deny loan assistance to those who are not U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents and deny loan access to students at schools that provide in-state tuition to illegal aliens. Wants to bar U.S. citizens from qualifying for federal housing if they live with anyone who is not a U.S. citizen. Four states to share driver's licenses and taxpayer identification information with federal authorities in order to find undocumented individuals and threaten to revoke critical funding to states that don't comply. To use data from FEMA to enforce immigration control. bring back child and family detention, and increase the national capacity for those detention centers.
Okay, so we're not talking about Camp Candy. We're talking about a reboot of Nazi Germany. Project 2025 plans to employ the U.S. military at the southern border, use government institutions to data mine American citizens, defund our colleges, and even go after states' rights, all in the name of making America white again. And if you think that Project 2025 is solely concerned about illegal immigration, I got some bad news for you.
Project 2025 doesn't just go after undocumented people. It would actually even severely limit legal immigration, terminate the legal status of 500,000 Dreamers. It would limit the number of H-2A and H-2B temporary worker visas, cause critical gaps in the agricultural industry, the construction industry, the hospitality sector, and the forestry sector. It would even reduce the number of H-1B highly skilled worker visas. It would significantly limit the number of T and U visas. They're the visas that are given to victims of human trafficking, violence, and abuse.
Because no one ever accused the right wing of being sympathetic to abused women and children who happened to be fleeing for their lives from their abusers. What with all that recent talk about how divorce is ruining this country, because women can just leave their husbands for such ridiculous reasons as verbal, mental, and physical abuse. Unlike in the 50s and 60s, when women didn't have an option for irreconcilable differences, not to mention legal immigration is literally what keeps America running. Did you know it's not just the agricultural and hospitality industries that would be devastated if Republicans have their way with Project 2025? It is also the fact that 44% of Fortune 500 companies were founded or are currently run by immigrants. I'm talking about 244 corporations that we all know and some of us despise are responsible for $8.1 trillion in revenue. And we've got immigrants to thank for it. Not to mention, most of our American holidays are actually imports from immigrants. I mean, why else would anyone day drink in March or hand out candy to kids who are walking around in the cold if it weren't for the Irish? And white plantation owners can thank the enslaved Africans they paid to have migrated to America for not only building this country from the ground up, but without that contribution, they had no choice in the matter of contributing to. Would we even be a beacon of capitalism still to this day? But you know, none of that matters to modern day colonizers who just want to make sure America gets whiter.
Who penned the immigration section? Ken Kuchinev, former Trump administration official in the Homeland Security Department. He is the person that genuinely believes in ending birthright citizenship. In 2019, tried to literally rewrite the Statue of Liberty poem, "Give me your poor and your tired," that those words were specifically referring to European immigrants, to white people, to people that could only come to this country if you had privilege, if you had access and money. We're talking about a distorted vision of America that tries to do one thing, and that is how do we preserve the whiteness of this country? Project 2025 is in many ways the manifestation of that deep xenophobia, all rooted in this idea that immigrants and migrants are criminals and they're dangerous, and in this racist narrative that they're lazy. They're explicitly trying to be cruel. It is all based on this idea of what they have to do to whiten America.
And that, my friends, is the reason why Republican-run states are banning abortion, declaring cells or babies too, and outlawing access to mifepristone. That is the reason why maggots on Capitol Hill voted against federally protecting a woman's right to choose and IVF treatments. And I know, the moldy orange is out there promising that if he is elected, IVF treatments are on the U.S. government or insurance companies. But need I remind you, it was American taxpayers who paid for the little bit of wall Hitler built on the southern border, and not Mexico, the last time he occupied the White House. Oh, and the line about Mexico's going to pay for it, that was a campaign promise too. So don't hold your breath on IVF. Meanwhile, the stark contrast between the two campaigns was never more obvious than at the Firefighters Union conference in Boston, where Tim Walz stopped to have a chat with everyday Americans.
It was you who built the middle class. And we know that when unions are strong, America's strong. Look, this is the time of year that talk is cheap. But that's why Vice President Harris is proudly part of the most pro-labor administration in history, unafraid to walk picket lines with workers demanding better pay and conditions. And that's why she rescued pensions of more than 1 million of our union sisters and brothers, workers and retirees, and insisted that prevailing wage jobs spring from federal investments. When Donald Trump was president, he blocked overtime benefits for millions of workers. He opposed efforts to raise the minimum wage, and he even proposed slashing budgets for federal fire service programs. But look, it's not just what they've done, it's what they're gonna do. This is the big thing. One of the goals of their Project 2025 is to screw the middle class, making it harder for workers to collectively bargain, allowing employers to drastically cut overtime or eliminate it, slash taxes for the ultra wealthy by imposing a national sales tax on the rest of us. Look, I've said this, I'm an old-time football coach. If you draw up a playbook, you plan on using it. Project 2025 is a plan to reshape what America looks like, moving away from the middle class and putting it right back on the oligarchs and the wealthy at the top.
That man is fantastic. Somebody needs to get him a job in government. Tim was greeted with cheers from firefighters, and rightfully so, especially after he let the trash panda out of the dumpster with his explanation about how Project 2025 plans to deal with the American worker and unions. Because, folks, it ain't good. And every voter in America who has a job or wants a job should know all about this before November. So let's start with Project 2025 and what they want to do to American unions.
On Chapter 18, the Department of Labor and its related agencies, page 605, they want to allow states and local governments to block their employees' right to organize a union. Quote, Congress should pass legislation allowing waivers from federal labor laws like the NLRA or the National Labor Relations Act of 1935 guarantees a worker's right to unionize their workplace. The FLSA is the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, which guarantees overtime pay, wants to make it easier to disband the union by eliminating the contract bar rule, which sets a standard of time before a union can be decertified. It also calls to eliminate project labor agreements that are unique to the construction industry. They're negotiated between unions and contractors before a large project starts to smooth out working conditions and make sure that deadlines can be met. Project 2025 wants to repeal the persuader rule that requires companies to disclose the resources that they spend on union-busting law firms and consultants. And Project 2025 would weaken joint employer rules for corporations who franchise out their business locations, which would make it more difficult for fast food workers in franchised operations like McDonald's to unionize. And if a worker at one of those franchise locations is seeking damages for unfair treatment, the massive corporation that is the franchisee would be off the hook.
So basically, Project 2025 wants to render unions and unionization ineffective, giving zero fucks about how American workers would be treated as a result. Because in this Christian nationalist wet dream, American workers would be enslaved to their employers without any rights or allowing them to object. And for you basement dwellers in the back who work for a living, unions are an American institution. Since the 1920s, unions have been bringing us more money for workers, an average of $191 per week, to be exact. And you like that 40-hour work week with weekends off? Well, you can thank American unions. They've ensured healthcare benefits, safe working conditions, and wage protections that we all rely on, which is why Project 2025 also wants to get rid of those pesky worker rights.
Let's turn now to page 604. Project 2025 calls for a repeal of the Davis-Bacon Act that requires publicly funded projects to pay workers a prevailing wage that's paid to other private sector workers in the same arena. Project 2025 suggests that employers and employees should be able to set a 2 or 4 week period over which to calculate overtime. That means if you work 45 hours this week, but 35 hours next week, no overtime for you. Project 2025 suggests that the government make it easier for teenagers to seek inherently dangerous jobs. Some young adults show an interest in inherently dangerous jobs. Current rules forbid many young people, even if it is their family running the business, from working in such jobs. With parental consent and proper training, they say teenagers should be allowed to operate heavy machinery because that is what our republic was missing. Children operating heavy machinery.
What in the Arkansas child labor laws that Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders just got rid of is going on here? I've got a 13 and a 17-year-old at home, and I can barely trust them with a vacuum cleaner, let alone a forklift or a backhoe. And please, spare me the back-in-my-day bullshit, because this line of boomer stupidity ended back in 1938. With the Fair Labor Standards Act, which allows a kid to be a kid. We don't need to bring children into the workforce because corporations don't want to pay a living wage to their current adult employees. No matter how many times Republican governors push back their child labor laws to allow it. See, under Project 2025, those of the employed persuasion can expect to be paid less hourly, with a pathway for their employer to get out of paying them overtime. And while the average American worker today is earning less than it takes to pay for just living expenses under Project 2025, that kind of forced poverty is going to get a whole lot worse, especially when they can get rid of discrimination in the workplace.
Project 2025 also takes a strong stance on discrimination in the workplace. It is in favor of it. On page 583, it calls for the rescinding of the executive order 11246. That was an executive order that was signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson. It prohibits federal contractors from discriminating against any employee or applicant for employment because of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It has since been amended to also include sexual orientation and gender identity. On page 595, Project 2025 takes aim specifically at LGBTQ workers. It says the president should direct agencies to rescind regulations interpreting sex discrimination provisions as prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, transgender status, sex characteristics.
And just when we thought we were making progress, here comes the Christian nationalist to fuck it all up. Project 2025 thinks peasants should be grateful to the job creators for making jobs out of thin air, and one of the best ways you can show your appreciation is to just shut the fuck up. And because evangelicals know a thing or two about humility, Project 2025 aims to humiliate the American worker by subjecting them to pre-1920s working conditions that make having your jaw fall off, like a radium girl, feel like any given Tuesday at the factory. Oh, and don't forget about your employer's job creator given right to fire you for being any shade but white, or pregnant, or a member of the Lobitiqua community, or for no fucking reason at all. Because under Project 2025, the company has the right to do whatever the fuck they want. And if you want to earn a living, you'd better learn to deal with it or go hungry and be homeless. But that's a crime to be homeless in most cities in this nation. So anyway, and while we're on the subject of crimes, recently, Donnie Dumbass and his entourage of poorly educated campaign staffers visited Arlington National Cemetery to make a campaign pay their respects to our fallen soldiers. And by pay their respects, I mean Gummy D's goons pushed an employee of the cemetery when she told them it's against federal law to take pictures in restricted areas like Block 60, where Mine Incompetent gave a thumbs up for a photo with a Gold Star family next to the grave of their loved one. Now, this not only pissed off a lot of U.S. veterans, but the U.S. Army made a statement defending the cemetery employee, even going as far as to point out that the only reason assault charges would not be brought against Von Krapp's and Pamper's staff is because of death threats that were already starting to pour in, thanks to the Drumpf campaign calling this person mentally unstable and then doxing him on the internet. And then there's Mascara Vance, who said this at a recent MAGA rally.
The altercation at Arlington Cemetery is the media creating a story where I really don't think that there is one. There is verifiable evidence that the campaign was allowed to have a photographer there. They were invited to have a photographer there. There's verifiable evidence that the families of these poor people who had their loved ones die 3 years ago at Abbey Road, Abbey Gate, they invited him to be there. Now, it is amazing to me that you have apparently somebody at Arlington Cemetery, some staff member, had a little disagreement with somebody, and the media has turned this into a national news story. This is not a gross violation of federal law. You guys in the media, you're acting like Donald Trump filmed a TV commercial at a gravesite.
Oh, yeah. You know, making the statement, it's not like he was at Arlington to make a TV ad for his campaign. You know, it's not as clever as you think it is. And while you've got the plausible deniability factor because you said TV ad, let's be honest here, no one but boomers and idiots are watching TV anymore. Everyone's on an app like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Hence, why the Drumpf campaign uploaded 15 seconds of federal lawbreaking to TikTok just hours after the crime was committed.
The Trump campaign posted a TikTok video showing highlights of his visit Monday.
The Trump campaign posted this video on TikTok promoting his visit to the cemetery.
We lost 13 great, great people. What a horrible day it was. We didn't lose one person in 18 months. And then they took over that disaster, the leaving of Afghanistan.
Oh no, couch potato. Is that your boss's TikTok video? You know, the one showing Girth Vader's trip to Arlington, his smiley thumbs up pose in front of the grave of a soldier while the song from the Twilight New Moon movie soundtrack is playing. I didn't know he was a fan, because me and everyone else who has seen it sure as fuck thinks it is. But, you know, if you ask Eric's dad about it, like this NBC reporter did, you might find out that this whole thing, it was actually a setup.
When asked about his role in this week's incident at Arlington National Cemetery and his campaign capitalizing on the images of Section 60, Trump tried to reclaim the narrative yet again.
Should your campaign have put out those videos and photos?
Well, we have a lot of people. You know, we have people, TikTok people. You know, we're leading the internet. That was the other thing. We're so far above her on the internet.
But on that hallowed ground, should they have put out the images of those?
I don't know what the rules and regulations are. I don't know who did it. And it could have been them. It could have been the parents. It could have been somebody.
It was your campaign's TikTok, though, that put out the video.
I really don't know anything about it. All I do is I stood there and I said, if you'd like to have a picture, we can have a picture. If somebody did it, this was a setup by the people in the administration that, Trump is coming to Arlington. That looks so bad for us.
Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know how in the fuck this over-bronze cruster is able to fit so many conspiracies in such a short amount of time. First, he blames the fact that he has too many staffers. That is his problem. When that doesn't work, he moves on to ignorance of the rules before throwing the assaulted Arlington Cemetery employee, the Gold Star family who allegedly wanted him to take the picture, and anyone else under the bus. But he ends it with a Biden framed me, because why the fuck not? You've alienated women voters by bragging about appointing the jesters who took their bodily autonomy away and praising the incel governors who've outlawed abortion. You've offended black voters with your racist sneaker selling campaigns and questioning what makes a black person black, and then insisting that there's something called a black job. And as I covered in this very show, your Project 2025 plans to wage war on every single American worker and union in this country, whether they're registered to vote or not. So why not go the extra mile and insult our fallen soldiers who obviously can't vote for you, request that you don't campaign on their graves, and some, in fact, died because of the bullshit you started in Afghanistan that you love to blame on Biden. You remember, it was you who made a deal with the Taliban, released 5,000 of their favorite terrorist members from U.S.-controlled prisons, and then promised to pull our country out of theirs during the next administration, which just so happened to have been Biden's because you thought it was going to be yours. And did you or any of your staff brief the incoming president on the mess that you made in the Middle East? Fuck no, you didn't. And that, my friends, is a story for another show, because that is all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays, 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. And you can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.